So true. All right, beloved, let's look tonight at Joshua chapter 2. And let's begin with verse 1. You don't have to stand. You don't have to read out loud. Just say amen if you have your place there. All right, that sounds good, church. Just follow along with me there. It says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." Let us pray. Father, tonight we thank you for your precious and holy word. Lord, we thank you tonight that we have finally arrived at springtime. Lord, we know that our hopes are that the weather will be mild, not hot and not cold. But Lord, you know what you're going to send. You know what we need rather than also what we want. And Father, we thank you that you promised in your word that as long as the earth remained, there would always be the seasons. And Father, we trust your word rather than these people out here who think they know what they're talking about. We know you do, and you told us in your word. Father, we're thankful tonight for this old King James Bible, because Father, it'll stand when everything else won't. And Lord, tonight we're thankful for our church and our church family. Lord, we lift up those that are not with us tonight for whatever reason. Lord, if they're sick, we pray for healing. If they're working, we pray for strength. If they're traveling, we pray for mercy. If they're hindered, we pray for your touch. If they're playing hooky, Father, we pray for conviction. But Lord, above all, we ask tonight that we who are here, Lord, that you'll meet with us and have your will and your way be accomplished in our lives tonight. Speak now through your vessel. Hide me behind the cross. And Father, I pray that everything said and done will be done for thy glory. In Christ's name, amen. This is the first occurrence of the woman who will become known, as she is already mentioned, Rahab the harlot. And yes, that is the derivative of Rahab's name. I told Greg, I said, "Why do you want that name?" And he said, "Well, it's a Bible name." I said, "Son, there's a million, billion different other Bible names." But I said, "Why?" And he said, "Look at how she wound up." I said, "Yes, she did wind up in a good place." But Rahab is a sweet little girl. And this Rahab in the Bible, that's what she once was. She was a harlot. But I don't believe she was practicing when the spies came through. Because of a little scarlet thread, we're going to see where she hid the spies and she hung outside of her window. Because that dye was very, very expensive. And the last thing you wanted to use it on was rope. You used it on garments to advertise your profession, for lack of a better word. So that's the last thing you wanted to do was make just rope out of it and color rope. Now, why do you want to color rope with that expensive dye? But anyway, obviously she had left the profession. She turned her house or her area into an inn, and she used the leftover dye to make a brand product. Because who else is going to have that color rope? Oh, you want to get that quality rope from Rahab because you know it by its color. Because everybody else's is boring out there and it's not as good quality, no doubt. So anyhow, she exercised something that the Bible speaks very highly of, both in the Old and New Testament. She exercised faith. So tonight's message centers on Rahab's faith. Now, just in case we're wondering what faith is, it's not what Mark Twain said. Anything Mark Twain says, you got to watch. Mark Twain said, "Faith is believing what you know ain't so." Well, you know that ain't what faith is. According to the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance." Notice that substance. Substance is something real. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, there's something else, reality, something residue, something left behind. The evidence of things not seen. Let me give you a little bit of substance and evidence about faith. How many of you believe that about 4,600 years ago, there was a massive event that the Bible calls the flood. You believe the flood happened?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody in here does.
Amen.
Were you there?
No.
If you were, please come talk to me. I got a lot of questions I want to ask you. So, you weren't there, I wasn't there. So how do we know it really happened? Well, the Bible says it happened. Now that's the authority. That is the authoritative word we accept telling us that the flood happened. However, that's our basis of faith. But if you go, say, to Grand Canyon, and you listen to the guides over there tell you how that canyon formed, they're going to tell you that canyon formed over millions and millions and millions of years because of the Colorado River. Well, guys, the Colorado River is going the wrong way to make that canyon. That river did not carve out that canyon. I don't care what they say. If you look at the way the schematic of the Grand Canyon is, you let the water backflow through a mud flow, and probably you're looking at probably anywhere from 30 minutes to maybe a couple of hours that thing formed right after the Great Flood. That's substance, that's evidence, that says something cataclysmic happened. How about this? There's so much silt that comes down the Mississippi River every year. If the earth is purportedly, 4.6 billion years old now, they say, it ages so many years according to the evolutionists, or the evolulus, as I like to call them. Anyway, no extra charge. So what happens is, if the earth has been around that long and the Mississippi River has been flowing, and you got so much silt. Now, see, here's something. It's a technical word. They believe in uniformitarianism. That's a big $10 word. What's that mean? Uniformitarianism means it's been the same way. It's happened the same way all this time. Now, see, that's what they believe, but there's no evidence for that. It's like the speed of light. They say the speed of light has always been the same. Well, they can't prove that. The speed of light is not a constant factor. Do you realize that they slowed the speed of light down in Tennessee several years ago in a lab down to 3 miles per hour? Man did that. How do we know the speed of light has always been the same speed? We don't know that. They assume that. And that's how they extrapolate all these years and light years and all that other junk. Anyway, moving on. So what they say is, well, the Mississippi River has this much silt, and so that's how much that's coming down. Okay, well, if you go back 4.6 billion years ago, there should be no Gulf of Mexico. It should be full of silt from the Mississippi River. There should not be a gulf there. It should be filled in with silt, dirt, basically. You see, the evidence is out there. The substance is there, and it speaks to the reality of our faith. But in order for you to believe that, you have to believe and accept the authority of God's holy word.
Amen.
Or you're going to accept the authority of some man in a white suit coat, lab coat, and think what he says is real and true. And he wasn't there either for the Big Bang. You know, the cosmic burp that supposedly made everything out of nothing. I mean, that's what they believe. They believe, according to Georges Lemaître, back in the 1920s, who was a Catholic, by the way, a priest who came up with the Big Bang, they say that a singularity exploded. All right, another big $10, $20 word. What in the world is that? All right, are you ready for this? A singularity means nothing. So nothing exploded and everything came about. That makes perfect sense. No. My Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That's what it said. That's what I believe. But enough about that. The reason we believe that, as Amanda alluded to during our praise report time, she believed the message of the Bible and she's always believed it. Guys, thank God that you've heard the gospel. Thank His name that you grew up in a Bible-believing church.
Amen.
Thank God now that you're attending a Bible-believing church. That as long as I'm pastor, I'm not going to change it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I ain't going to bring in the rock band. I don't care who wants me to. It ain't going to happen. I ain't going to get shed of the old hymn. I'm not going to get rid of the old King James Bible. God, that's the way God wants us to do it. That's the way we're going to do it. I don't care who comes and who don't come. If you don't like it, there's one door, two doors, and one in the back. Take your pick. And then you've got bukus of churches out there that will be glad to tickle your ears and to rub your little belly and to make you roll over for tricks and treats and everything else. Not here. My purpose and my task is to try to give you something that you can use in your day-to-day life to fight against the crap that comes in this sin-cursed, rotten, evil, wicked world. You need that. You need the Word more than you need anything else. Now, Rahab knew a little bit about this because she lived in a sin-cursed city. When she was a little girl, she heard of some events happening in a far-off land down towards Egypt. As we find out, this was the seeds that started her faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. She heard about this, and it changed her life. So let's take a look in chapter 2. Look down at verse 9. The men, the spies, have come now into the city, and she's talking to them. She says in verse 9, chapter 2, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon it, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Now watch this. Look at verse 10. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt. Notice when that happened. When did they hear about that? When they came out of Egypt. That was 40 years ago. When ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Folks, 40 years ago, God prepared the land for capture. And when they left Mount Sinai, and they went up to Kadesh Barnea, and the 12 spies at that time, which included Joshua and Caleb, the only two out of that generation to enter into the promised land, the rest of them were young'uns, 19 and younger. They said, we can take the land because God is with us. Rahab confirmed that. She said, 40 years ago, we heard the news that God parted the Red Sea. And then y'all went into the wilderness going towards Sinai. And then what happened? Y'all defeated with your God fighting for you, Sihon and Og. And we knew we were next. And we have been afraid for 40 years. Folks, I want to tell you right here, point number one, the ground of faith is what she has seen. It is a revelation. Notice what she said. I know that the Lord has given you the land. Notice she said, I know. This is a personal understanding. She has come herself to in a pagan society because of the work of God parting the Red Sea and defeating Og and Sihon, the kings of Bashan. Because of those three events, she has had a personal revelation of the Lord God of glory. So the ground of your faith is a personal revelation, a revealing of an understanding there is a God to believe in. Verse 13. The spies and Rahab now are fixing to enter into an agreement. She has hid the spies, and she says this, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sister and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. Number two, when you deal with faith, you encounter the plea of faith. When you encounter the living God, you know that you are a sinner. You know that you deserve His wrath. You know that you deserve His judgment. You know that you deserve hell. And so then, what faith begins to churn out is, number two, the plea of faith, which is mercy. Notice what she said to the two spies. She said, deliver our lives. Notice she didn't just ask for her life. Notice she asked for the lives of not only her, but also her family. In other words, anyone that could come into her household. You know what the Apostle Paul said to the jailer, the Philippian jailer? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. We never put that in there a lot of times, because when we share Acts 16:31a, we put that out there because we don't want the lost man to get confused. Because if he hears, thou, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. If you listen to that right off the book, right off the bat, He might think, okay, if I get saved, then that means automatically everybody else in my house is saved. They don't work that way. But it can work if he becomes a light of Christ to the rest of his family. He can lead them to the Lord. So we deal with people, try to, on a one-on-one basis. If you personally believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou, you shall be saved. So the plea of faith. Notice in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, the Apostle Paul, I believe, he writes down, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Notice that. She did not perish because why? She exercised faith. Way down in the New Testament, Rahab's faith is still remembered. We remember this little gal who lived in Jericho. We're still talking about her today. She's not just a name on a page in the Bible. She did things. She spoke. Guys, we're hearing her very word. We are seeing her very action. And she is modeling for all of us to see what entails true faith. Amazing. Look down at verse 18. Now the men agree to her agreement, their covenant, if you will. Because when they come back, they know that they're going to have to destroy the entire city. And so they have made an agreement to spare her life and anyone's life in her home. And so they say, we need a signal, we need a sign. Verse 18 says, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. This number three is what we'll title the evidence of faith. That is a witness. And what is that witness? It is the line of scarlet thread. Years and years and years ago, a pastor wrote down the scarlet thread of redemption through the Bible. You go from the book of Genesis all the way through into the book of Revelation. Somewhere in that book of the Bible, either how small or how large it is, you will find a place where there is a reference, there is a mention, there is an allusion to the blood of Jesus Christ. There is something in there that will point to the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And notice back in Exodus, God even spoke of this in Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. There is an old hymn that speaks of that. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You know what? God put the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, on your heart and mind when we, by faith, accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. And Jesus there, His blood, has been applied to your heart and mind. We are waving that scarlet thread out our heart's window. And so when the angel of death comes by, he will not bite us. He will not sting us. Not the only thing will happen is his shadow will fall upon us. And God will say, come up hither. And the angels will come and bear us home. And just immediately as we leave this old human body of flesh and bone and frailty, the Bible promises us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That is face to face with the Lord. Beloved, you have the promise of God. You have the witness of God that the blood of the Lamb of God has been applied to your sin, and your sin debt has been canceled in full. The evidence of faith is the witness of the blood of the Lamb of God. If you take away the blood, you might as well throw the whole thing away and just might as well just live the way you want, because it ain't worth 2 cents and no how. The blood is what matters. Number four, we also see the works of faith. And that is seen in the reception of the spies. Look at verse 15. It said, then she let them down by a cord to the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuer be returned, and afterward may you go your way. Now, why do we bring this up? Because we notice what happened. She showed them kindness. James chapter 2 and verse 25, listen to what it says. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot, watch it, justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? That's what she did. She's telling them, I showed you kindness. I let you down. The men of the city came knocking on my door trying to find where you were. I hid you. I put my neck on the line. Why did she do that? Because notice at the beginning, what did she say? I know that God had delivered the land into your hand. So what is she doing? She's acting on faith. Was Jericho conquered yet? Had Jericho ever been conquered before? The city with walls that had never been breached? When they walked around those walls, they laughed at them. They jested at them. They made fun of them. They said, what do you think you're going to do? Walk around the walls. Ha ha! This city has never fallen to any enemy ever before. And here y'all come walking around. You don't even know how to lay siege to a city. You don't even know how to conquer a city. It'll take you at least 5 years to lay siege to the city and starve us out and let us eat up all the supplies we have and then stop all water from coming in. Good luck with that. We'll see who'll last who out. But God already had a plan. 7 days, that city's gone. Yeah. And see, that's what Rahab knew. She knew 40 years ago that their time was marked. They were living until God's men came, and there went her hometown. And she exercised that faith by hiding the spies and then letting them down her window by the scarlet thread. That was the works of her faith. That's why the Bible says in James that she was justified by works. Now let me explain that. Some people read those verses and they think, well, you're saved by your works. That's not what the Bible teaches. Whenever it says you're justified by your works, it means that you're living your faith before other people. So they look at your faith and they justify the faith that you say with your mouth that you have. And you evidence that faith by your work, by your action. In other words, you're doing what you say you believe. Does that make sense? Yeah. I mean, any one of us could say, I believe the pew will hold me up. And if you're over here gingerly trying to sit down, you don't believe that. You know, but if you just say, you know, there we go. You had complete utter faith in that pew to hold you up. Of course, you're not as big as I am, but still, you see, you exercised faith. You didn't gingerly test it out because your action showed that what you thought is practice and reality, you see. All right, so that's the works of faith, the reception of the spies. Now, look over in chapter 6, Joshua chapter 6, and no, I don't care how the spiritual went, you know, Joshua 5th, the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua 5th, the battle of... No, Joshua didn't fit the battle. God fought the battle. Amen. All Joshua did was obey. Amen. God said, march. Yes, sir. He marched. God said, be quiet. He was quiet. God said, blow ye on the horns. Well, I don't have a shofar yet. I'll get a ram's horn one day. So they blared out on the ram's horns. And then he said, shout! Ah! And so they shouted. And then there went the walls. But see, none of that would have happened if they had disobeyed God at any point. So that's why, as catchy and as wonderful as it is, fun as it is to sing that song, Joshua didn't fit the battle. God did. Now I want you to see here, after the battle is over, the smoke is cleared, The walls have fallen down, but way over there, there's a piece of a wall sticking up and there's a house on it and a red cord flying out the window. Like a big battle flag flying out of the window saying, "We're here." Look at verse 25. Chapter 6, verse 25. "And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." This is the end of faith. This is when faith becomes sight. This is when faith becomes reality. What does it say? "And Joshua saved Rahab." Wow. 1 Peter 1:9 says the following: "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul." Now you think about this. These two spies were strangers. Rahab had never met them a day in her life before. But now she entered into an agreement with them saying, "When y'all come in, don't kill me and my family." They said, "Tie the red cord in the window and we'll be held true to our word." Oh, that's a matter of life and death. What if they went back to the Israeli army and forgot to tell Joshua and anybody else, "If y'all see a house that's got a red cord out the window, you know, don't kill anybody in there. You know, I know we got to kill everybody. That's what God said. You know, kill everybody. But except not her." What if they forgot to tell? She's trusting their word. Their bond was their word. Their bond. That was the security that she was banking her life, her mom's life, her dad's life, her family's life, anybody and everybody that was inside of her house. They were all there banking on the word of those spies. They'd been in terror and fear for over 40 years, knowing that their land's gone. They're beat already. There's no valor, the Bible said. There was no courage left in any of them. Because God's already paved the way for victory. And now they're out there blowing trumpets, marching around once a day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day they come back. Okay, they're playing the same tune again. What was that, 6 times? Oh, great. Oh, they're doing it again. Oh, look at that. Oh, yay. And then the end came. Imagine, there's Rahab and her family. They don't know what's about to happen. All they've got is that word that was promised to them. Well, this wasn't in there. We didn't know what's going to happen now. And then the only house left standing was theirs. And here come the army of Israel. And there's sounds of death on every hand, all through the city. If someone had peeped out the door or peeped out the window, they would have seen neighbors being cut down by the Israeli sword, blood flowing throughout the whatever remained of the town square. Everything was chaos and carnage and blood everywhere. And I'm sure there may have been fear and trepidation. Is anybody going to come through their door? And then suddenly, "Open up in the name of the God of Israel." This is it. Yes? Are you Rahab? Yes. I'm Joshua. I'm here to save you and your family. Come out. Wow. Can you imagine the roller coaster? Even though they didn't exist back then, the roller coaster of a ride, heart attack, I'm coming home, God. You know, all of that stuff happening. I mean, I would have been up and down, up and down, up and down. Oh, Lord, here I go. I'm going to die now. You know, but that's all they had was the word and the agreement that Rahab, I mean, mom and dad wasn't there to agree to the agreement. The cousins and uncles and aunts or whoever, you know, the cousin of the uncle or the aunt of the friend or whoever, they weren't there. They didn't see that agreement happen. All they had was Rahab's word about it. They said, "What? Everybody's going to die, but you're going to come in here.
Why? I don't want to come in your stinky house.
Because this is the only house that's going to be left and spared.
Well, how do you know? You think this city is going to fall?
Yes, it's going to. You got to come in here.
Why?
Because they're going to save everybody in here. We're going to live and everybody else is going to die.
All right.
Joshua saved Rahab and her family and all that was in her house alive. And that's the only people out of Jericho that survived. Now, Jesus, in the Greek, Jesus, Iota, Epsilon, Sigma, Upsilon, N Sigma, Jesus. That's the Greek language. We call his name in English a transliteration. That means you bring a letter into another language. Jesus. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every name, every tongue shall bow. I mean, every knee shall bow. I'll get it right in a minute. That's what happens when you don't quote it from Scripture and go by memory. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. All right, but now, their language they spoke was Hebrew. Jesus, when he was raised, spoke Aramaic and Hebrew and Greek. But their language, their culture was Hebrew and Aramaic. So it would not have been strange to have heard Mary, his mama, or Joseph, his adopted daddy, call out, Yeshua, Yeshua, come here. Yeshua, Yeshua. What is Yeshua? Huh. Well, that, my friends, is Jesus' Hebrew name, which is Joshua. Now, Joshua saved Rahab. Let's say Jesus' Hebrew name, Joshua. Joshua saved Peggy. He knocked on the door of her heart one day, and she opened it up. And she said, all I'm doing is trusting the word that you gave me to save me. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Yeah. And one day you opened your heart and you said, I'm going to trust Joshua's promise. I'm going to trust Jesus' promise to save me alive. And anyone else who will believe with me and trust that promise, you are going to follow through. And that's going to be the end of my faith. Because one day I will see him with my eyes and my faith will become reality. If that don't make a Jack Pennington used to say, if that don't make a Baptist shout, Lord help us. I tell you, some Baptists need to go get they need to get a heart transfusion or something. But listen to what Jesus told Thomas. Thomas saw him and he said, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, here you are in the Bible, guys. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I have not seen him face to face. I exercise my faith that one day I will see him face to face. And that will be the end of my faith. Because then I will see the substance. Then I will behold the evidence, the reality of what I have long believed but have not seen but have hoped for. And now let me give you one more. Back also in Joshua 6:25. Watch this now. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. Now look at this. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Let me give you this final point and then we'll go home. Number 6. The knowledge of faith. The knowledge of faith. That would be security. Now notice. It says in there, dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. You know, guys, there's some people that say, I hope I'm saved. I'd like to think I'm saved. They say, well, where will you go when you die? Well, I hope I'll go to heaven. No, you got to know that you know that you know that you know, beyond the shadow of a doubt. Let me tell you something. The Bible says in 1 John 3:14, we know That is present tense. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I mean, think about this. Rahab was a Gentile woman. And yet, the Bible says when the book of Joshua was wrapped up, being written up, it says she dwelleth in Israel even to this day. She's still with us. And you know what? She got married, the Bible tells us. She got married there, and she had a son. And then that son had a son. Well, guess what happens? Rahab winds up becoming the great-great-grandma of King David. She becomes part of the of the royal family. And she's a Gentile. She don't belong in the Jewish lineage. But because she had faith, she was adopted into the Jewish family, into the Hebrew society. And she was there living with them even unto that day. You know what? I know that I'm saved even at this hour, this very day, right now. Even though I'm not yet home, I know that I've been born again. I know that there was a day on July 1st, 1991, when I was 9 years old. I knelt down in that little old house on Walker Lake Road, and my mama led me in prayer, and I asked Jesus into my heart and my life, and my life has never been the same. When I got out of line, he flies all over me and he lets me know. When I kick him to the curb, he rears back and he stabs me with the word of God. And he says, boy, you know that ain't right. And so I get right with him because that's the right thing to do. You can't outrun God. If you try to outrun God, you better read Jonah again and figure out what kind of company you're going to be keeping. I don't want to be in a whale's belly anytime soon. I would like to go in a submarine, but not that way. Not that way. Not the whale way. Uh-uh. No, 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 no. But the knowledge of faith is security. She dwelt in Israel with them. She had been spared. Her family had been spared. She intermarried into what would become the royal family. You and I were the wild olive tree. By faith, we've been grafted in to achieve the promises that were due them. And we know today that we are saved and we are heaven bound with a hammer down, as Mays Jackson said many years ago. You can live now holding the promises of your faith. Looking one day to the end of your faith, which will be reality one of these days. Amen. Wow. All of that out of two little chapters in the book of Joshua about the faith of Rahab the harlot. If Rahab were to walk inside of a Baptist church today, I guarantee you that most of the Baptist churches, they would kick her out because of her past. They would look down their long Baptist nose at her and say, you don't belong here with us. But you know what Jesus said? She belongs in my family. Because she believed and she is cleansed. And when I see her, I see the blood. Whew. Glory to God. Ain't you glad for the blood of the Lamb? Of God. That cleanses us from all our sins and unrighteousness. I'm sure that every one of us here, if we revealed every nook and cranny of our heart and soul and mind, we might not talk to each other ever again. But God knows our deepest secrets and still loves you and me. And has not once set us aside and said, you don't belong. Even though this woman still was called Rahab the harlot, she didn't live that way. So I want you to remember something. You can have the faith that'll move mountains like Rahab did, and you'll still be called sometime by your past. You know what? Let the heathen prattle. Let them say what they say. You look to God. And you look and you know who you are. Whose you are and what you are. And live for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because one day, all your tragedy, all your suffering, everything you're going through, it'll be worth it all when you behold the face of the King. Well, wow. I hope y'all enjoyed that tonight. I know I did. Glory to God. I need that, folks, from time to time. Like Brother Rex used to say, you get the can't help it's Peggy. And you just got to just let God have his way. Woo! Glory to God. See, I might not have been led that away unless we've been going through our daily chronological Bible reading. I'm enjoying this, and I hope y'all are too. We have week 13 up here, commentary, ready to roll if y'all need it. And any others, help yourself. They're there for you. That's why I stayed up till 3:30 this morning, working on it, getting it done, and knocked out. Because that's what I do. Jesus said, "If Simon Peter, lovest thou me? Yea, Lord." He said, "Feed my lambs." And that's what I've been trying to do for almost 15 years. And if he gives me 15, 30, 60, I don't know, 60, 50, however more down the road, I'll keep feeding as long as folks are hungry. Here at the little old church on the side of the road. We kind of been elevated now because we're looking down at the road now, rather kind of upward at the road. But anyhow, we've been through a lot, haven't we, Peggy?
We sure have, but God brought us through it.
That's right. God has never changed, and he saw us through. He's still doing, folks. So let's get out of his way, and let's let him have his way. All right, let's bow our heads. If God spoke to your heart tonight in any way, shape, or form, if God's speaking to you tonight about salvation, the Lord wants to save you.